So the Mishnah teaches us, we were learning about where the lechem apanim were baked. We learned about where the shtei alechem were baked. So now the Mishnah says, chavitei kohen gadol, the special karban mincha that was brought on a daily basis by the kohen gadol. Kohen gadol, the high priest, would have to bring from his own money an isaron of soles, which would then be divided. Half an isaron is brought in the morning as part of the karban tamid shel shachar, and half an isaron is brought in the evening as part of the karban tamid shel bein arbayim. So this, the tool for the measuring of the half isaron, was kodesh. And since it was kodesh, the moment the solet, the fine flour, went into that tool, it became holy. And therefore everything had to be in the Beis HaMikdash. If it would be taken out of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be disqualified with the disqualification of Yotze. And therefore, Chavitei Kohen Gadol, all the preparations of the Chavitei Kohen Gadol, of the loaves that the Kohen Gadol brings, half in the morning and half in the evening, Lishasan, the kneading of these loaves, Arichasan, the preparing of these loaves, V'afiyasan, the baking of these loaves, Bifnim, happens inside the Azara. Now, in addition, since they have to happen each day, whatever has to happen on that day will happen even on Shabbos, V'dochus as Shabbos. This will overrule Shabbos. But the grinding of the flour to make it into solas, and the sifting of the flour to get to solas and get rid of the kemach, that doesn't overrule Shabbos, because since it doesn't have to happen that day, it could happen before. So let it happen before. Don't violate Shabbos if you don't need to. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva gave a rule that tells us the reasoning for what we just said. Any of the malachos that you could do them before Shabbos, then you have to do them before Shabbos. And ain't a dochas a Shabbos, they would not overrule Shabbos. However, but those things that couldn't be done before Shabbos, let's say the kneading of the chavitin, the baking of the chavitin, so that dochas a Shabbos, that overrules Shabbos. Okay. Another rule. Now all menachos, the kneading is actually done in a bowl which is holy. And that's the case if it's bifnim, if you're kneading it inside the azara. So if kneading inside the azara, the bowl that's used is a holy bowl. However, ve'ein ben ma'isakli, there's no need to use a holy bowl. You can use a secular bowl if bachutz, if you're kneading them outside of the azara. Now we get into the details of what everything looked like. Shtei alechem, the two loaves for Shavuos, the two loaves that are brought from the new wheat. And they permit us using new wheat in the Beis HaMikdash for Menachos, the Shtei alechem, the two loaves, Arkan Sheva Tfachim. They were seven Tfachim long. The Rachban Arba Tfachim, and their width was four Tfachim long. But in addition, so it was something like a type of a rectangle. In addition, the Karnoseyan Arba Tzbos Lechem, they would have corners to look like the Mizbeach, and there would be four fingers of bread dough placed on each corner and then baked so that it would look like this. You know, it was long and wide. It was seven long, and it was four wide,
in feet,
and it had four corners. No, it wasn't feet. Seven tefachim. Each tefach is 3 inches. So let's say, yeah, fistful, 3 inches. So 21 inches long, and 12 inches wide, plus four corners, another four fingers worth on each corner going up.
Mm-hmm. A nice decoration.
Now, Lechem Apanim, the Lechem Apanim, Arkan Asara, they were 10 tfachim long.
A meter.
10 tfachim long, 30 inches. The Rachvan, hey tfachim, and they were 5 tfachim wide. The Karnosav Shevatzbos. And its corners were a total of 7 fingers worth of dough. So Yehuda Omer, Yehuda says, okay, here's a way to remember. Shlotitza. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda always likes to give acronyms. We say it in the Haggadah. Rabbi Yehuda, you know some simanim, the Tzach Hadash Ba'achav. So he gives an acronym here too. He says, if you want to remember the measurements, so Shtei Alechem remembers the Dad. Seven long, four wide, four fingers on the corners. And remember Lechem Apanim, Yehaz. 10 long, 5 wide, and 7 fingers worth of dough on the corners. Ben Zoma Omer, Ben Zoma says, the verse says, V'nasata l'ashulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid. You shall place on the table bread of faces before me constantly. So lechem panim, the way the Rambam understands this, shiyeh lo panim, it means, as we said yesterday, that the lechem panim was in the shape of a U. So it had like, it wasn't round, so it had like a face. It was like a bottom, and then it had like sides that are facing it. It has stuff facing each other. So that's called lechem panim, the bread of faces. Now, how was it arranged on the shulchan? Hashulchan arko yud. The shulchan was 10 tfachim long. This is according to Yehuda. If you assume that every amma of the utensils was 5 tfachim, so since the Torah says about the shulchan, it was amasayim, it was 2 amos long. So the shulchan was 10 amos long. V'rachvo chamisha, whereas the width of the shulchan was 5 amos long. Lechem apanim, we said, was yehaz. Arko yud, it was 10 tfachim tall. Long, rachvo he, it was 5 tfachim wide, and its fingers were shevatzbos. It's both seven. Its corners were 7 fingers worth. So, lechem panim is 10 long and 5 wide. So, how would you arrange it on the shulchan, which itself is only 10 long? So, no sein orcho keneged rachbo shul shulchan. So, you take the length of the lechem panim, and you put it on the width of the shulchan. So remember, the shulchan is 10 by 5. The length of the lechem apanim is already 10 by 5. So when you say put it the length according to the width, so basically you have 5 on the table, and then 2.5 protruding past the table, another 2.5 protruding past the table, because you have 10 to the 10 is the length of the lechem apanim, and 5 is the width of the table. We said you put the length according to the width. You put the length on the width. So that means that there's 5 that's on the table and 2.5 protruding past the table, another 2.5 protruding past the table. So what do you do with that? So again, the Mishnah says, according to Yehuda, Hashulchan Arko Yud V'rachbo Chamisha, the Shulchan was 10 long and 5 wide. Lechem Apanim, the Lechem Apanim is Arko Yud, is 10 long, V'rachbo He, and it is 5 wide. No saying Arko Keneged Rachbo Shul Shulchan, you put the length of the Lechem Apanim, the 10, on the width of the table, the Kofel. Now these parts that are protruding, you bend them up. Tfachayim u'mechza mikan, so 2.5 are bent up on this side. Tfachayim u'mechza mikan, 2.5 are bent up on the other side.
It was a soft bread,
right? So nimsa, so what comes out? Arko b'mali rachbo shel shulchan. The length of the lechem apanim is filling the width of the shulchan. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. However, Rabbi Meir says, Hashulchan arko yud beis. He says all the amos of the vessels were amos of 6 tfachim, not amos of 5 tfachim. So the length of the shulchan itself was 12, rachbo, vav, and its width was 6. Lechem apanim, as we said, everybody agrees, is arko yud, is 10 long, v'rachbo hey, and its width is 5. So what does Rabbi Meir hold? No saying arko keneged rachbo shel shulchan. He puts the length of the lechem apanim opposite the width of the table. So now you have 10 covering the space of 5. Kofel tfachayim mikan. He bends up. So, I'm sorry, the length is covering a space of 6, because he's saying the shulchan was 6 wide. So now, if you have something 10 long, right, this is 10 long, and it's on something which is only 6 wide, and you're putting the length to the width.
Okay.
So now you have, this is 6, and then you have 2 and 2 to get you a total of 10. So you have 6, and then you bend up, 2 up and 2 up. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, so kofel tvachayim mikan, tvachayim mikan. So he bends up 2 tvachim here, and he bends up 2 tvachim here, and then he makes another stack. So that's for 6, and he puts another 5 loaves on top of those, also bent up. And next to that, he makes another stack with also 5 loaves. 6 loaves. Utvachayim rebach be'emtza. And between the 2 stacks, there are 2 tvachim of empty space. Between the 2 stacks. Today, because the length, again, according to Rabbi Meir, the length of the Shulchan is 12 tvachim. So the Lechem HaPanim loaves are only 5 tvachim long. I'm sorry, five tvachim wide. So if you have a stack of 6 of them, so that's going to be 5 tvachim of space occupied. Another stack of 6 will also be 5 tvachim of space. So 5 plus 5 is 10. Out of 12, you're left with 2 extra. So the 2 extra tvachim are between the 2 stacks. Tvachayim revach be'emtza, that's in the middle. Kedei she'er tehei aruach min hasheves behen, so that the wind should be blowing on the lechem apanim, and that they shouldn't get bad because there's no space. They shouldn't get moldy. Okay, so Abba Shol adds, Shem, in this space of 2 tvachim between the 2 stacks, they would put the 2 spoonfuls which have the Lavona, the frankincense spice, for the Lechem HaPanim. The sages said to Abba Shol, no, Varik, Varnamer, the verse says, V'nasata al ha-ma'arechas Lavona zaka. You are to put onto the stack the pure frankincense, so that means that the spoons don't go on the table in the space between the stacks, they actually go on top of each stack, on the top of the stacks, in the Lechem HaPanim bowl dough themselves. Abba Shol said back, but the verse says, V'alav matei Menasheh. So when it says that the tribes were traveling, on him was the tribe of Menasheh. Does it mean that the tribe of Menasheh was literally standing on top of the tribe that went first? No, it means, Alav means next to. So the word Alav means next to. So when it says, V'nasat ala ma'arechas, you'll put on the stack, it means you'll put next to the stack these spoonfuls of Levona. Okay, so again, to review the argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Shulchan was 10 tvachim long. According to Rabbi Meir, the Shulchan was 12 tvachim long. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Shulchan is 10 tvachim long and only 5 tvachim wide. So when you put the loaves of Lechem HaPanim length to the width of the Shulchan, so you have 5 tvachim of the 10 of the Lechem HaPanim filled by the table, and the other 2.5 on each side have to be bent up. According to Rabbi Meir, where it's 6 tvachim wide, so then the length of the 10, the length of the Lechem HaPanim is 10 to 6. So you'll have to bend up 2 tvachim on each side. According to Rabbi Yehuda, where it's a total of 10 tvachim long, so when you have 2 stacks of Lechem HaPanim, each being 5 wide, so they fill up the entire Shulchan. There's no space for anything else. According to Rabbi Meir, if the Shulchan is 12 tvachim long, when you have 2 stacks of Lechem HaPanim, each being 5 wide, you still have 2 tvachim empty. Those 2 tvachim empty were in between the 2 stacks, and in between those 2 stacks, either there was Levona there, or there was just air there in order to make sure that things don't get moldy.
Which one of them is the halacha one, the correct one? Which opinion?
We pass by Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir. Yeah.
Rabbi, how thick was
the? I think it was a tefach.
No,
6 and 12.
No,
Rabbi
Meir is 10 and 5. No,
12 and 6 versus 10 and 5. Rabbi Meir is 12 and 6. Rabbi Yehuda is 10 and 5.
Rabbi 6. Rabbi, now we know the shape, the length, the width, and how thick was it, the bread?
That's what Izzy just asked. I don't think much. We're going to see in a second. It's not so much. Yeah, I don't think it's so much because we'll see what they
get. We don't fashion our own, challahs like this.
Why can't we do that?
We do the braiding and...
So I actually heard an interesting thing from Rabbi Leibowitz yesterday. He said on the tape that Rav Schechter says that the braiding is maybe for the other idea of the Lechem HaPanim. Right, this is apparently saying the Lechem HaPanim is square, Kimin Teva. But we saw yesterday that there was an argument whether the Lechem HaPanim was square or whether the Lechem HaPanim was like a boat. So he said, if you braid it, When you turn it over, it looks like a boat. Mm-hmm. The bottom is sort of sloped like a V, and the top is square. So he thought that that was to commemorate the idea that it's like a boat. And as I mentioned yesterday, the Kolbo actually says that on Shavuos, there was a custom to make chalos like this shape. It would be rectangular. It would be a rectangle longer than wider. And it would have four corners on the side, like fingers, to make it look like the Shtei Alechem.
Don't tell Chana to change your recipe.
It should be recommended to all the ladies that they make challah to make it like that instead of, you know, regular.
Maybe.
Don't share this. This is good stuff.
Remembering
what's that?
Forefathers.
Yes, it was matzah. They didn't let it ferment.
Did you take challah from the lechem?
Yeah.
Ten the length. Six,
five,
eight,
no, 12. 10 the length, 5 the width, or 12 the length and 6 the width.
And then the corners are how long?
The corners are fingers, five folded up, 5 or 7. 4 or 7.
4 or 7, okay.
Now, Varba.
Tomorrow night,
at the shear.
Varba, Snifin.
You bake, I drink.
Shelzav Ayusham. And there were four pillars of gold there, four panels of gold, Mifutzalim Meirashehen, that have lots of holes in their heads. And they would put all these kanim, they would put all these reeds there, Shayusomchen Behen. And with these two panels, they used to support all the breads to hold them up. Shnaim l'seder zeh, they would have two for one stack. Shnaim l'seder zeh, and two for the other stack.
Oh, the one on top of each other, the bread, or was?
The breads were on shelves of
like baking racks. As a matter of fact, they carry the bread nowadays like that too, exactly. When you see it delivered to the supermarkets, and
racks.
Yeah.
So they don't smush.
Yeah, right.
V'chav ches kanim, and there were 28 reeds in order to hold up the bread loaves. Kechatzi kane chalo. Now each of these reeds was like half a reed that is empty. And the way they divided up the 28 reeds, arbas l'seder zeh, 14 for one stack, arbas l'seder zeh, 14 for another stack. Lo sidur kanim, v'lo netilasam, dochas ha-shabbos. Neither the putting of the reeds there between the breads, nor the taking of the reeds would overrule Shabbos, because that they could do on Shabbos. Ela nichnas me'erev Shabbos, the Kohen would walk in on Friday, v'shomto, and he would pull out all these pegs, v'nosno, put on the floor of the heichal, the length of these reeds, these pegs, L'orko shel shulchan, to the length of the shulchan, in other words, from east to west. And then on Shabbos, he would actually put the breads in stacks without reeds, because putting the reeds in would be bonet, would be building. And then on Matzoy Shabbos, they'd put the reeds between the loaves. Kol ha-kelim, all the utensils placed on the floor, Shayiba Mikdash, and the Mikdash would be ark on their length, l'arko shel bayis, so the length of the house, in other words, from east to west. Okay, that's the Mishnah. But apparently that's considered boneh in the Mikdash. But that's not lasting for 24 hours. This is going to last for a week. Lego's going to last for an hour or two. Okay, next Gemara. The Mishnah began by saying, if you're kneading the dough of the mincha in the Beis HaMikdash, then you would knead it in a bowl that was holy. It would be maisakli, it would be made in a holy vessel if it was done bifnim. Shalu et Rebbe, they asked Rebbe, Zumi 9, how do we know this? Amalahan, he said to them, Arei Omer, because the verse says in Yecheskel, Vayomer Eli, the angel says to me, Yecheskel, showing me the third Beis HaMikdash, Zeh HaMakom Asher Yivashtu Shem HaKohanim, this is the place where the Kohanim will cook there, Esa Asham Esa Chatas, the Asham and the Chatas, Asher Yofu Esa Mincha, and there they will bake the Mincha, Levilt Yotzi Ela Chatzar Achitzona, to not take it out to the outer courtyard. They're going to do it in the inner Azara. So here in this verse, we have a linkage between Mincha and Asham and Chatas. So it's a hekesh. Therefore, mincha dumi to asham v'chatas. That's to tell you that the mincha is like the asham v'chatas. Ma asham v'chatas tun in kli. The asham v'chatas, they have to be in the azaras. They have to be cooked in a holy vessel for the kohanim to eat from them. Therefore, mincha nami tun in kli. The mincha has to be prepared in a holy vessel if it's done in the azara. All right, then we have the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. What is the size of the shulchan? Is the shulchan 10 long and 5 wide, Rabbi Yehuda? Or is the Shulchan 12 long and 6 wide? That should be Meir. So Rabbi Yochanan said, L'divrei Omer, according to the opinion that the Shulchan was 5 wide, therefore, for the Lechem HaPanim, which are 10 long, even though they're put to the width of the Shulchan, T'vachayimu Mechza Kofel, he has to bend up 2.5 on each side. So therefore, if he bends up 2.5 on this side and 2.5 on that side, then the next stack, also he bends up to the next loaf, also 2.5 is bent up on one side, and 2.5 is bent up on the other side. So 6 times 2.5 is how much?
15.
6 times 2.5 is 15. So that means that when we think about the Shulchan as a holy vessel, and that the holy vessel can consecrate what's put in it, it's not just this, the table top, which is holy. It's 15 tefachim up, which is holy. 15 tefachim up is all considered the holy vessel, because it's consecrated 15 tefachim up. So Rabbi Yochanan says, according to the opinion, tefachim u'mechza kofel, that you're bending up 2.5 tefachim on each side. Then it comes out that the shulchan is consecrating 15 tefachim up, and that the 15 tefachim on top of the tabletop are all considered part and inside the vessel of the shulchan. However, L'divrei Omer, according to Rabbi Meir, who says that the table was 12 long and 6 wide, and therefore how much do you have to bend up? Since it's 6 wide, only 2 on each side. So what is 2 times 6? 12. So L'divrei Omer, according to the opinion, who says T'vachayim Kofel, that he's bending up 2 T'vachim on each side. So then each stack is 12 tefachim high. That would make the shulchan is consecrating 12 tefachim up. So one second, it's more than 12 tefachim. Ha'ika kanim, you have all these reeds, right? So make the stacks. They're not literally one on top of the next. You have a reed holding up a loaf, and then some space, another set of 3 reeds holding up the next loaf, and some space, another set of 3 reeds holding the next loaf. So it's more than 12 tefachim, or more than 15 tefachim. Answer the Gemara, kanim shkuim mishakilu. The reeds would be immersed in the dough. They would be immersed in the loaves. The Gemara says, one second. My time, what's the whole purpose of reeds? Mishum rafushe lechem. The purpose of the reeds is that the bread shouldn't be one on top of each other with their heat going one to the next and making it all moldy. But if you're going to say that the reeds are literally in the dough, so then, sof, kami avshalechem. So then you didn't accomplish anything. Then the breads are literally on top of each other, and the breads are going to become moldy. So no, they were a little bit separate. To migbala porta, they were a little bit elevated, a little bit separated, one from the other. So, then vayikahu porta. Then you can't say it's 15 tefachim tall. It's 15 tefachim plus these little bits. Or it's 12 tefachim plus these little bits. So the Gemara says, no. Okay, even the lohavi tefach, since that amount is not a tefach, lo chashiv lei, it's not counted. So you have to say also, you ask how thick was the bread, it couldn't have been that the bread was thick a tefach, because then it would have added to the, it wouldn't be 12, it wouldn't be 15, it would have been also, it would have been 18, it would have been 21. So the fact that that doesn't count, that must be that that thickness was less than a tefach. Maybe it was a finger, maybe it was an etzba, it wasn't a tefach. Maybe less than that even.
And ideas they gave, this is all based on their own assumptions and figurations. It didn't go from door to door.
That's a very good question. Yeah. Apparently not. Apparently, once we lost the Beis HaMikdash, we started to forget what it looked like. Yeah. Listen, you think about the Soviet Jews. Russian Jewry was the most had the biggest Torah scholars. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was in Russia, the Rebbe Rashab, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Novartic Yeshiva system. The communists came in 1917. By 10 years later, by 1927, nobody knew anything. Right? You meet Russian Jews today who had been Nebuchadnezzar 70 years, literally nothing, not even Brit Milah. They knew nothing at all. So here the Gemara is being written, you know, in the year 350. It's 280 years after the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Whatever traditions there were also may have been forgotten. They didn't know much anymore. So now they have to go figure things out. Things get forgotten quickly. Things get forgotten pretty quickly.
Even though the measurements are halakha,
I think if you're not reviewing something constantly, it goes away very quickly. Gemara says about Torah, you lift your eyes and it flies away.
You know, so like it takes constant effort. Friday night, stayed from generation to generation.
Yeah, but still, that's what we're constantly reviewing. So now the Gemara asks another question. So we're saying that the stack is 15 tefachim tall, or a stack is 12 tefachim tall. One second, vayikah bazichin, but you also have the spoonfuls of frankincense, so it should be more than 15, because it's 15 plus the spoonfuls, or it's more than 12. Answer the Gemara, but gabi delechem avayasvi. Those spoonfuls of frankincense are inside the loaf, so it's not more than 12 or 15. So the Gemara says, and therefore lebahadi lechem havukaim. They're together with the same height as the breads. Vayikakranos. But what about the corners on these breads? So why do you say it's 15 tall? You bend it up, and then you also have the four fingers. So the Gemara says no. Kronos legavid the lechem kaiflu. Those corners were bent into the bread. The lechem alayu nachle, and the bread was placed on top of it. Ask the Gemara again. How do you say that one stack was 12 or one stack was 15? Now turning to Tzadi Vavam and Beis, leikem mizgarto. But you also have the mizgaret. The mizgaret was the rim, the frame around the table, which the Gemara is assuming was another tefach. And you'd have to put the breads on top of the mizgaret, not within the mizgaret, because there wouldn't have been space if it was within. So when I said, no, kamadar mizgarto lemato haisa. This is all assuming that that frame was underneath the tabletop, not on top of the tabletop. So Gemara says, one second. Ulamadar mizgarto lemalo haisa. Or, according to the opinion that the mizgaret was on top of the frame, parkudei havei mefarkuta. The mizgaret was like this; it was sloped, so therefore you still had, you know, 10 tefachim worth of space from here to here, because the mizgaret is not straight up, filling up space; it's bent outwards. It's like a bowl like this, and therefore there was room to put in the breads. Therefore, prekudei havei mefarkuta, and therefore v'lechem begavah the shulchan avayasiv, the bread was placed inside the table. Kedatayin, as we look at a brisa. Rabbi Yosef Yosef says, Lo hayu sham snifim. He says there were no two panels in order to hold up the lechem apanim. Elam izgarto shul shulchan ma'amedes es halechem. But the frame around the table, that would hold up all the bread. Amrulo, the other sages said to Rabbi Yosef, no, mizgarto lamato isa, the mizgaret was underneath the tabletop. Ms. Garrett was down here. It wasn't up here. So therefore, there's no way it was holding up the bread. Rabbi Yochanan said, L'divri, Omer Ms. Garrett l'mato isa. So we have an argument. What the shulchan look like? Did it have a frame on top of the tabletop, or did it have a frame underneath the tabletop? So Rabbi Yochanan says, L'divri, Omer Ms. Garrett l'mato isa. According to the opinion that the frame was underneath the tabletop, and therefore the table is totally flat. So then we'd say like this, tavla misapechas. If you have a tabletop, a tavla, which is flat on both sides, and you can use on both sides. And if you turn it over, then it'll have a base kibble. It's going to be tzmeya, but according to the opinion of Mizgarto l'malo, I saw the Mizgaris was on top. So that means that you had a frame around the tabletop. It means the tabletop itself has a base kibble. It's holding things. It can hold things. Then tavla misapechas tibayilach. So therefore, a tavla misapechas. You have a question. Is that considered a base kibble? Or is that not considered a base kibble? Because the way it is now, it's flat, and only if you overturn it will it have a base kibble. So Gemara says, Michlal, this discussion of Rabbi Yochanan is saying the Shulchan Bar Kibbulitzumu. There's no question that the Shulchan itself, the table, could become Tameh. So the question is, what the table looked like, so we can learn from there to other vessels if they can become Tameh. Aye, how is that so? Creates also the Nachasu. The Shulchan is such a big wooden utensil. It's a big wooden utensil made to sit in one place. We know that the only things that can become tameh are things that are like sack that can be moved. But this is not something which can be moved. Kol creates also the nachas, a wooden utensil made to sit in one place. In makabel tumah, doesn't become tameh. So my time or why does it not become tameh? Because to me the sack bina, we need it to be like sack. The Torah says, Mikol creates obegado or osak. Ma sack mital til mali verekon. A sack is something which you can carry full, you can carry empty. Avkol mital til mali verekon. So to anything which you can carry full and empty is, in fact, something which can become tummy. So Gemara says, listen, Shulchanami, even the table, mital til mali verekon, it can be carried full or empty. And therefore, it's not a creates asu nachas, it's a wooden utensil, but it's a wooden utensil, it's movable. How do we know that it was ever carried? That's what we learned it back in the Sechet Chagiga. Reish Lakish, as Reish Lakish taught us. Dami Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, "My dichtiv was the meaning of the verse Ala Shulchan Tahor on the pure table, implying that it could be impure. Tahor Michlal Dika Tami, pure, implying that it could be impure. Why could it be impure? It's not something which is movable. The answer is it is movable. When was the Shulchan moved? During the festivals. Elam Alame, this teaches you that during the three festivals, Magbi and Osolo, they regal them. They would lift up the Shulchan to show it to all those who were there for the festival. Umar and Bolechem, and they would show them the bread. Bomalem, they would tell them, Ruchi Basim of Neamakam, see how beloved you are before God, that here this bread is still fresh the way it was when it came out of the oven. Kid Rabbi Yishum Alevi, as Rabbi Yishum Alevi taught us. Tam Rabbi Yishum Alevi, Nes Gadol Nasim Alechem Apanim, there was a tremendous miracle in Alechem Apanim. Silu Ko, and you'd be removing it from the table. It was as hot kisidur as when you put it on the table. Shenamas, it says, Lassum Lechem Chom, Yomi Lakho, to put hot bread like the day was taken.
But what was the word that
being moldy? Could mean it's all miracles. It's a good question. Maybe that's a lesson. Even when you know that they're miracles, you have to try your best. Still try your best. It's hypocrisy. One second. Why do you say that the reason why the Shulchan is impure? Because it would be lifted. Forget about that. Mishum tzipui. It's all covered by metal. And since it's covered with gold, it's covered by metal. So therefore, it's a metal utensil. Metal utensils become tam even if they're big and they're not movable. Milotna, didn't we learn a Mishnah? Meseches Kelim, a Shulchan v'adul baki. A table of wood or a table made of leather, shed nifchasu, if they were punctured, oh, shekhip and b'shayish, or they were covered in marble, v'shir b'hen makom anachas kosos, and he still left in them the space to put a cup, then t'mein they stay tamei. Rabbi Yudom Ravida says, makom anachas chatichos, it has to be enough space to leave pieces of meat and fish. And then, if there's, then it stays tamei. Otherwise, it would become Tahor. So shear in. If he left space, it stays tummy. Lo shear, but if not lo, it loses its identity and it becomes now what its cover is. So it becomes stone. If you're going to tell me that things don't only become what they are covered by, maybe there's a difference between a covering that is really attached, versus a covering that's not so attached. Rish Lakish asked the question of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue at this point tomorrow. We'll get back to that. Okay.